Good evening. Wasn't that wonderful? I love when challenges come. We were challenged with the microphones. I had to switch to a different one. Then we had some challenge with the music, but it all worked out anyway. So whenever we get attacked like this, I know things are going to be good. I've asked the Lord to lead me and guide me in everything I do today. So first, we'll talk a little bit about evolution. Everybody knows what evolution is, right? Okay. So the question is, how many evolutionists does it take to change a light bulb? None. They think it'll change all by themselves. I have a lot of fun. There's a guy in our office that believes in evolution, and I just am challenged by that. I says, how can you look at things and think that, okay, he's on a computer. I says, well, that computer just form itself, or did somebody make it? Well, somebody made it. How do you think all of this just formed? It's just amazing to me, but people are different. What can I say? Tonight's title is Whiners Whine, Winners Win. Are you a whiner? I'm challenged by the fact I hear so much whining out there in the world today. You turn on the news and it's whining this and whining that, and then as I was praying about that, I remember that many years ago on Saturday Night Live, they had a show called, a section called The Whiners on it, where they just whined all the time, And, it's just, when I was in college, in my dorm, you went down the middle and there were two kitchens, one on each side, so they decided to be fair. This was before you couldn't smoke anywhere. One side would be non-smoking, the other side would be smoking, And one of the guys in it was crying, "You mean I can't sit with my smoking friends?" I said, "You can sit wherever you want to. But if you're in that side, you can't smoke. If you're in this side, you can. It's that simple. If you're with the smokers, they're going to be smoking around you, Oh, I can't sit with my smoking friends anymore." I said, "You just don't get it." He was whining. And then, of course, the last election. These kids are whining, "Oh, I can't go to school because my party didn't win. Can the teacher postpone my exams?" The election was in November. The exams were at the middle of December. 6 weeks, they still hadn't gotten over it. I'm like, okay, get over it. But the one that got me the most, they put a Chick-fil-A in a college campus. And he's going, "They're taking away my safe space." I'm going, "You're afraid of a chicken sandwich? Give me a break." But whiners are losers. I bring that for a very big point. If you can't talk about it intelligently and have a confident discussion, you've already lost. Okay? Let's look at examples where people didn't whine, but they won. And of course, we go to 1 Samuel, verse or chapter 30, verse 6. And David just come back from winning a battle. When he came back, he found that the Amalekites had taken everybody, their wives, all their properties, everything about him. And his own people were starting to turn against him and threatening to stone him at this point. And what does he do? He turns to God. Okay. In verse 8, so David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them?" And God answered David, "Pursue, for you will surely overtake them, and without fail recover all." Okay, so the first thing you do when a challenge comes is inquire of God. Don't complain about it, don't cry about it, inquire of God. Okay? All right. Then they found out where the people were. Going to verse 20 or to verse 18. So David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives, and nothing of theirs was lacking, either great nor small, sons or daughters, spoil or anything which had been taken from them. David recovered all. Then David took all the flocks and herds they had driven before those other livestock, and said, "This is David's spoil." And David came to 200 men who had been so weary they could not follow David, whom they also made stay at the brook. They went out to meet David and the people who were with him, and David came near and he greeted them. And David split the spoils up with those who were too weary. The point is that David did what he could do with God and still blessed everybody in his tribe. He didn't whine about it, he didn't cry about it, he didn't complain about it. He went out and did what needed to be done. Okay. Now, many people have gotten into a challenge of complaining. It's starting to really bother me. I remember when he had the healing rooms and we're praying for people, and I hear, but you don't know what happened to me. Well, I'm sorry that it happened to you, but you have to get over it. You can't let that problem pull you down. By the way, if the problem is pulling you down, it's already below you. That's why it's pulling you down. The enemy is below you trying to pull you back down. Okay? You can't let that happen. And I hear that time and time again. You know, you don't know what happened to me. And some terrible things happened to people. They were horrible. I understand that. I heard some stories that occur your toenails. And they were really bad. But the bottom line is, okay, it happened. Have your little bit of time, get over it, and get on with your life. Because Satan wants to keep you in the past. He wants to keep people dwelling on what happened to them before. Because if you dwell on what happened before, you can't look forward to where God has you going. Okay? You know, God likes blessing people. Let's go to John 2. One of my favorite verses and stories in the Bible. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now, both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. Now, I have no idea why this was Mary's situation. I don't know if she was the wedding planner. I don't know why, but they came to her and asked her to get the wine. Okay. And Jesus said to her, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My time has not come yet. Mary doesn't even respond to Jesus. Now, this is something a mother can do. Okay. She turns to the other people, the servant says, whatever he says, do it. So Jesus asks us, okay, that's mom. I'll do what mom says to do. You know. So now there were 6 water pots of stone containing some 20 or 30 gallons apiece. He said, fill the water pots with water. They filled them to the brim. He said, draw out some now and take it to the master of the feast. And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that made the wine, did not know where it came from. But the master called the bridegroom. He said to him, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, the inferior. You kept the good wine till now. Actually, the best wine. Now, being the numbers person that I am, I have to have fun with some numbers. So, you have 6 vats there at 20 to 30 gallons. We use the 25-gallon average on that. Okay? There's approximately 6 bottles of wine in a gallon. Okay, if you go to the store and buy a bottle of wine, it's about 6. And the best wines today go for $300,000 a bottle. Now, if you extrapolate that out, 6 times 25 times 6 times 300,000 is $270 million worth of wine he provided for that wedding. Now, that's earthly wine. His was probably better. So if any of you are having financial challenges, invite Jesus to a party, okay? Okay? The point is, God blesses big. God doesn't think small. We are challenged to think small. And we've got to get out of that mindset. We've got to get out of the challenge that, oh, there's a problem. No, we're a winner. No, we're victorious. We have Jesus inside of us. Let me put this in a nutshell. Superman is no comparison to Jesus inside of you. I want that to sink in for a second. You've got to start seeing yourself as God inside of you. You are invincible. If God has you on a mission, I don't care what happens, you will not fail. So what is your godly mandate? Most people don't even know. My mandate is to help the body of Christ as much as I can receive the wealth transfer getting ready for the end times. I know this because I spend time with my Lord. And I do my regular 1.5 to 2 hours of prayers. And then I set aside a 30 minutes or so every day, just me and God, and I listen, and I ask questions, and you all verified me the other week when she was talking about what she did. I do the same thing. There's my question. There's God's answer. There's my question. There's God's answer, and I've got them in a book. And as I see how he's enveloping things for me, it doesn't all come at one time. That's why it's got to be a regular basis. And you'll develop things. You'll see things. So this whole picture is coming together that I never knew before. I had an idea before. Until I did this, I never knew the scope. So you need to spend time with God. And I hear, well, I'm too busy. Stop whining. Okay? You're never too busy for God. If you spend that half an hour with God, you'd be surprised how suddenly your busyness fades away, because he will take care of the challenges coming against you. I've told the stories before, how he says, I get to work faster than the average person does. I'm talking to Karen. I said, Karen, I'm already at work. She goes, how can you do that? You only left 20 minutes ago. I live 50 miles away. I did not speed. This happens to me because God wants me there, and he wants to spend time with me. And I believe he's excited to spend time with us, as we should be to spend time with him. And we need to do it. Amen? Okay. Pursue your mission to win. Are you pursuing your mission? Write it down. It's not on here. Habakkuk 2:2. Take your vision, write it down, make it plain. Because you can focus on something that's written. An idea in your mind is a very flighty thing. You get busy, you get distracted. Read your vision. Read what you're supposed to do. That'll keep you on target. You ever see the old war movies, and they've got their charts out there, and they're drawing their lines where they're going to go? They look at the chart. Are we on this way? What's happened? We've been pushed off course by the current. Get back on here. This is where I need to be. That keeps you on track. It keeps the enemy from pulling you off course. He wants to pull you off course. He doesn't want you succeeding. But you keep Jesus inside of you, success is yours. Okay? Now, many people, for some reason, are afraid to talk to God. They're challenged by it. They're intimidated by him. He's a loving God. Now, does he have his thing where people are going to go to hell? Yes, he does. But that's people who don't know him and are not following his words. They're not doing what he says to do. And he gives them very plenty of time and chances to change that, you know. But if you look at Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, the thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. God wants you to have a future and a hope. Another version I like says, plans to prosper and not to harm you. God has no plans to harm anybody. People harm themselves by not doing what God wants them to do. When you're under godly anointing, you have no problems. That doesn't mean the enemy's not going to attack. We'll get into that a little bit more later, but you will always be victorious. There is a challenge. We're going to have it. It's called Satan. It's called his minions and demons, and we're going to have that. There's no question about it. But we don't whine, and we don't cower, we don't turn away. We look straight at him and take him on as God directs us, okay? Don't whine. Win by not quitting. I want you to think for a second. What would you do if you knew you could not lose? You cannot lose. I want you to get a hold of that. I want you to get in this mindset. Now, this is designed to encourage you. I don't care how old you are, how young you are, how many physical challenges you have, how many financial challenges you have. I want you to grasp all the fact that whatever you set your mind to with God, you cannot lose. Okay? You know, I was very encouraged. The Minnesota Vikings quarterback won a big game and went to the next level of playoffs. And the announcer says, was this the most exciting day in your life? He says, no. The most exciting day in my life was when I accepted Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. The second is when I married my wife, but this is the third. I thought that was pretty cool. That took some boldness on TV. And then the Philadelphia Eagles, the coach, gave Jesus Christ glory for the victory. Right there on national TV. Now, he was a high school coach 9 years ago to the Super Bowl. That's virtually unheard of. But God had a plan for him. He could not lose because God had a plan for him. I'll get there. The wide receiver that caught the touchdown pass was also a Christian, the one to game. But the quarterback, he was ready to quit. He was ready to hang up his cleats, so they say, and put them on the wall and never take them down again. And he prayed, and God told him, go back. Because he did what God said to do, he won the Super Bowl. And he gave glory to God in doing it. He was beaten emotionally, physically. Let's be honest, football's a rough game. He didn't want to do it again, but because God told him to, he did. And you know what? He won the biggest prize of his career that they could win. Kurt Warner from the Rams many years ago was a box boy when he got the call because the quarterback got hurt. He took the Rams to the Super Bowl. He didn't quit. Instead of whining about confusion, he asked God for ways to help you distinguish between good and evil. Let's go to 1 Kings 3:9, please. And this is Solomon. And number 7, now, O Lord, my God, you made your servant king instead of my father David, but I am a little child. I do not know how to come in, go out or come in. They estimate Solomon was about 12 years old at this time. Your servant is in the midst of people whom you have chosen, a great people, two numbers to be numbered and counted. Therefore, give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may be discerned between good and evil. For who was able to judge this great people of yours? Now, when he was young, he used that well. When he was older, he didn't use that well. And he had lots of problems because he did not use his discernment of good and evil. But when he was a boy, 12 years old, his wisdom amazed everybody in the world because he asked God for wisdom. So if you get your godly wisdom and you stand on that, everything is going to work out. Now, for those of you who may not know, I am in the investment business. I deal out with stocks, bonds, mutual funds. And if you know this week at all, it's been a roller coaster ride. And I asked the Lord, I says, Lord, you've been guiding me, but you didn't tell me this was coming. Why not? And he said, how much work did you do when the market was in its fluctuations? I says, a lot. He says, how much did you learn about the fluctuations? I says, a lot, because he was leading me and guiding me. How much are you ready for the next time this happens? And a light bulb went off. He took the time to give me wisdom for the next time. Because this time is not really anything major. This is going to come back. I go on record as saying that right now. You're going to see some fluctuations for a while. It's okay. It's what the market does sometimes. But in these fluctuations, there are chances to make good profit for people in the kingdom if you do it right. But because if I had pulled back and gotten out of the market, I would not have done the work necessary to prepare for the next time. My point being that, A, I was never fearful. I asked God if it was going to be okay. He said it was going to be okay, so I didn't have to worry about that. Number 2, I had him show me every single day what was going on so I could learn from it. Number 3, to be prepared and go in confidence the next time there are fluctuations in the market like this. We haven't seen this for years. Okay, it's been a long time. But now I'm ready for the next one. Why? Because he trained me. Why? Because I'm hearing wisdom from him. I'm not taking wild shots, you know, I'm not panicking, you know. Some guys were calling up yesterday going, sell everything, and please don't do that. That's not a good thing. It wasn't my clients, because my clients, I was able to, the ones we called, I talked to them, you know. But some of the people in the office had people selling everything, you know. So it's, they're the ones that are going to lose because they operate in fear. They didn't go to God and say, what's happening here? Do I sell or do I buy? Do I stay? Okay. So when you get godly wisdom, that gives you a confidence to go forward. So ask the Holy Spirit continually. How do you get that? Pray in tongues a lot. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Spend your time with God. Turn off the TV. Turn off the computer. You've heard me say this before. Okay. Not saying totally. I enjoy a good show once in a while. But, you know, give God the time first. then watch your show. Learn to listen to them. Whether in the financial markets or anything, there are difficult times coming. You've heard Pastor Joshua talk about the end times coming. He's right. They are coming. We need to be ready. Most people have the will to win. The problem is most people don't have the will to prepare. And that's what we're trying to do, get you prepared. And I'm trying just to encourage you because we still have time. Now, we got a couple of two gentlemen here that are from World War II that are much older than me. And on Sunday, there are some children here that are much younger than me. You know what that means? All of us have the same amount of time between now and when Jesus returns. There is no difference. Age does not matter. Jesus is coming at a certain date. We have the same amount of time. It's up to us to prepare and get ready. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to look the challenge in the face and get ready? Because if you run away from the ones that are coming now, you're going to be in no shape for what comes down the road. But let's prepare and get ready, okay? Don't whine. Win by not quitting. I want you to think for a second. What would you do if you knew you could not lose? You cannot lose. I want you to get a hold of that. I want you to get in this mindset. Now, this is designed to encourage you. I don't care how old you are, how young you are, how many physical challenges you have, how many financial challenges you have. I want you to grasp the fact that whatever you set your mind to with God, you cannot lose. Okay? You know, I was very encouraged. The Minnesota Vikings quarterback won a big game and went to the next level of playoffs. And the announcer says, "Was this the most exciting day in your life?" He says, "No. The most exciting day in my life was when I accepted Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. The second is when I married my wife, but this is the third." I thought that was pretty cool. That took some boldness on TV. And then the Philadelphia Eagles, the coach, gave Jesus Christ glory for the victory right there on national TV. Now, he was a high school coach 9 years ago for the Super Bowl. That's virtually unheard of. But God had a plan for him. He could not lose because God had a plan for him. I'll get there. The wide receiver that caught the touchdown pass was also a Christian that won the game. But the quarterback, he was ready to quit. He was ready to hang up his cleats, so they say, and put him on the wall and never take him down again. And he prayed, and God told him, "Go back." And because he did what God said to do, he won the Super Bowl. And he gave glory to God in doing it. He was beaten emotionally, physically. Let's be honest, football's a rough game. He didn't want to do it again, but because God told him to, he did. And you know what? He won the biggest prize of his career that they could win. Kurt Warner from the Rams many years ago was a box boy when he got the call because the quarterback got hurt. He took the Rams to the Super Bowl. He didn't quit. With God, you cannot be defeated. You will win unless you whine and quit. Those two seem to go hand in hand. There is no quitting. There's only pushing on toward the mark. Okay. You know. So with God, you cannot be defeated unless you whine and quit. The enemy may attack you if you whine. We will not be harmed. God bring God's power and authority win. Now, one of my favorite ones here is Acts 28. And this is where Paul is going to the island of Malta. And what's happened here is he's on a ship, and he's on a godly mission to go to Rome. And nothing is going to prevent him going to Rome. Now, the enemy does not want him going to Rome. He doesn't know how much power Paul has in Rome, but he does not want Paul succeeding on this mission. So he sets a storm upon his ship. Now, what's interesting about this, if you read the story, I'm going to paraphrase this a little bit for the sake of time. He starts telling the commanders of the ship what to do, and they are listening to this prisoner. Don't let those people get off in that boat or your ship will crash. You will all die. Then he says, everybody will be safe, but the ship will be lost. But they are listening to him. He is telling them what to do. He's a prisoner. But they see his godly authority inside of him. And they are following what he says to do. They go to Malta. They prepare a fire. As they're bringing some wood to the fire, but when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks, laid them on a fire, a viper came out of the heat and fastened onto his hand. So the enemy's still trying to take Paul out. And a snake, a very poisonous snake, bites Paul. Now, when the natives saw the creature hanging down, they said, no doubt this man is a murderer whom, though he escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow him to live. They think God is going to punish this guy for some crimes he's committed. They just think of him as a prisoner. But he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. However, they were expecting that he would swell up and fall down dead. But they're looking for a long time so no harm come to him. They changed their minds and said he was a god. Now, God small g, that's correct. Because God big G is inside of him. Okay? All right? In that region, there was a state of the leading citizen of the island whose name was Publius, I believe it's pronounced. I should go take Greek someday. Who received us and entertained us courteously for 3 days. And then having the father of this gentleman lay sick with fever and dysentery. There wasn't natural cures back in those days for dysentery. Okay? So Paul went to him and prayed, laid hands upon him, and healed him. So when this was done, the rest of the island who had diseases also came and were healed. Paul healed everybody on that island. Okay. After 3 months, they sailed in a ship whose figurehead was twin brothers wintered at the island. Now, that means there were two of the front things that go out in front of the ships. Two. That was the Gulf Stream 5 of the day. That was very, very expensive. That man had a lot of wealth. So he sent Paul to Rome in style. So instead of Paul coming off a prisoner ship, he's walking off of there as the friend of the governor of Malta, who carried power. Because of that, Paul was put in house arrest for a while before he was sent into prison. My point being, attacks are going to come. You handle them like Paul handled this, and God will bless you abundantly besides. Whatever the devil means against you, God will do more for you and show off his power through you and bless you abundantly. Amen? So when the attack comes, say, praise the Lord. My blessing's coming here. Now, this is ABC. We have Healing School, School of Dominion. We have them all. They're all online if you haven't been through them all. They will teach you what you need to do to take dominion over the enemy when he attacks you. You need to do that. Review and keep training and keep yourself ready. So you're ready in season and out season. So whenever that attack comes, you don't have to say, let's find this in the book. No, you know what to do instantly. Paul knew instantly what to do to that snake. And he knew it wouldn't kill him. Rest assured, he had no fear in him about that snake biting him because he knew his power in Christ Jesus. And because of that, he was then blessed by God. Amen? Okay. And then Luke 10:19, in the New Testament, verifies that also. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Always remember, we do not battle against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities of the enemy. Amen? They're spiritual. Quit trying to fight spiritual battles with physical things. You fight spiritual battles with spiritual weapons. And ABC has them all. Okay? Now, even in the Old Testament, we can see wonderful things. Let's go to Daniel 6. verses 13. And what's happened here is Daniel's going to be thrown in prison because he doesn't bow to the foreign king's idol. Okay. So the angel said before the king, these are the people tattletaling on Daniel. Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, for the decree that you have signed makes his petition three times a day. And the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased himself to his heart and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored to going down of the sun to deliver him. These men approached the king and said, O king, that is the law of Medes and the Persians that no decree or statute of king established may be changed. So the king gave the command and brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions, because anybody who did not bow to that thing had to be executed. Okay. The king spoke to Daniel, your God whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. The king is speaking this over Daniel. He liked Daniel. Daniel was a really good servant to this king. The king did not want to do this, but he was forced to by his own words and his own laws. Then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den. The king sealed it with his own signet ring and the signets of his lords, that a purpose concerning Daniel may not be changed. Now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. No musicians were before him, and his sleep went from him. So he didn't sleep all night. This king was worried about this all night long. He was really bothered by it. When he came then, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke to Daniel and said, Daniel, servant of the living God, had you God who you can serve continually been able to deliver you from the lions? Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. Daniel just blessed the king. He didn't curse him for throwing the lions down. He just blessed the king. Okay? No animosity in Daniel. The king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken out of the den. No injury whatsoever found him because he believed in his God. Okay, now, does anybody know what Daniel said when he went into the lion's den? Here, kitty, 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 kitty. This is Old Testament. He didn't have the Holy Spirit inside of him like we have inside of us. What are you afraid of? Believe that your God has set you on a mission. And if you work with your God, you'll be victorious in that mission. And you will hear the wonderful words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Okay? So in conclusion, God wants to bless you big. The enemy will try to stop you. With God, you cannot be defeated or harmed. Whiners whine and quit. Instead, do win as a winner. If you don't quit, just do it. And I've drawn down here in the box a little thing. It says, don't quit. Cross off the N and T and says, do it. Amen? All right. God bless you all.
We thank you, Father, that on that night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, he blessed it, he broke it, he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Lord, as I repeat your word here, it's commands. Take, do. This isn't a suggestion. You know how much this benefits us, and you want us to be blessed in every possible way. So we thank you, Lord Jesus, that as you said, as you spoke it, you didn't say this is a symbol. You said, this is my bread. This is my body. This is my body broken for you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you took all 39 stripes upon your body, that there were lesser men that died before they ever got to 39. But you were strong and you held on and you took it all, every part of that sacrifice, every sickness, every disease, every infirmity, and every pain. All of it you took on you, Jesus, so we would not need to experience any of it. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Let's say that together. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Now let's make it personal. I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We do honor you as we partake together in Jesus' name. In the same manner, after supper, on that same night, Jesus took the cup and held it up and said, "This is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, you refresh us, you renew us, you remind us of all you've done for us. And every time we partake of the body and the blood, we get to say thank you again. We get to remember what it is you have done for us. We thank you, Lord, for your precious blood that sealed the old covenant, that washed away every one of our sins, the past, the present, the future, the known and the unknown sins, all under the blood of Jesus. And then with your blood, you established with Abba Daddy the new, better, and everlasting covenant that is just for us in these last of the last days. All that we would ever need, the power, the authority, the dominion, you stand with us, Jesus. As we stand with you, we go together, hand in hand, victoriously through these last days. And we thank you for your precious blood, for the life that is in the blood that pours into us every time we partake of the body and blood of Jesus. Your life, Jesus, is pouring anew into us and disseminating through every part of our body, every organ, every system, every function, every cell, every fiber of our being, flooded with the precious blood of Jesus, the life-giving blood of Jesus. For we are renewed daily as we partake of you, Lord. And we are so excited, because that means that your word's very clear. It is possible, and it is up to us individually to be alive and to remain when you return. That's our desire, Lord. Help us here at ABC to be able to fulfill that calling on our lives. We look forward to that day when we see you face to face, Jesus. What a joy. We love you so much. We do remember, and we partake together in Jesus' name.